Okay, podcast them softly. Kent Hill, the year's coming to a close, and it's that season again where we are warmed by the hearth and hearts of the ones we love. And I've come across a movie that is a wonderful holiday film, The Boy, the Dog, and the Clown, a film written and directed by Nick Lyon and starring his son, Adrian Lyon. Gentlemen, welcome to Podcast Them Softly.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. Jump in, don't be afraid. The water's fine. All right, so... Ironically, this is the second film that I've come across in the last little while that involves a father and son team. And ironically, there are a lot of overtones and a lot of crossover, and we'll talk about it as we move along. So this film sort of began its life from what I gather from everything I've read and other reviews and stuff. You shot a short film first. Is that true?
Yeah. That's true. It was actually just the full project in the beginning, maybe like 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And then we decided, all of us, that we wanted to take it a step further and make this a feature. And, yeah.
Cool.
That's how it started.
No, in a very...
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, go on. You're fine.
Oh, no, so yeah, it was exactly that. He had a school film festival, and so we just kind of were looking for something to do, and we were going to do something else with basketball or something, and then you know, our cousin-in-law, Gabe Dell, he's a Cirque du Soleil clown, so I'm like, why don't we go do something at the beach? So we literally went down to Santa Monica Pier on an afternoon, and shot like the little short film, which is basically the opening scene of the film. We just shot it with the three of us, and then I edited it, and it was this little school film festival thing, and it's like, we just liked it so much, you know, and it felt kind of different than what I usually do, like just to do something positive, and so we started, and that's where the journey started.
Yeah, I know, because Nick, you've... There's looking at your CV, there's a lot of stuff like you know, Isle of the Dead and Stormageddon and Hercules Reborn and Bullet and Rise of the Zombies. I mean, it's a very much a departure for you.
Yeah, I wouldn't even so much say it's. I mean, it is a departure from what I've usually done, because I've done a lot of, you know, it's just been a lot of action and disaster and all these, you know, darker themes in general, or action, and so, you know, it's like, this is pretty much the first, you know, really positive, except for when I was a film student, I did do some comedy and stuff, but that was way back when, and, you know, and plus it just needed to be, you know, I wanted to do something really actually positive, and it becomes rather infectious once you start doing something positive, because if you're working on films all the time that are just in this dark, negative world, you know, at some point you just go, okay, I'm getting like, you know, it's not completely all who I am, you know? Mm. And working with Adrian and with Gabe on this, it felt really good, and it just got infectious, and we just kept going, and it felt better and better as we go along making it, and then finally completing it after, you know, we shot on weekend, we just started shooting, you know, and didn't stop until it was all finished. So, you know, but, you know, I kind of look at it this way. It's like, look, you know, actors, for some reason, nobody has a problem if, you know, De Niro plays in a comedy, then he turns around and plays in a mafia thriller, you know? Mm. So actors seem to have the liberty to be able to jump genres whenever they want. And, you know, as an artist, as a film director, I tend to like to jump genres, and more so now that it's like, getting a taste of doing something kind of more positive, it definitely feels good.
There was a comparison in the press packet that said the film is reminiscent of the European film of the 1960s, The Red Balloon. I personally got out of it, it was a little bit like, I don't know, E.T. meets The Fisher King for me.
That Yeah, that too. Like, you know, it is, you know, a boy meeting a unique individual, and you're absolutely right. I think where it comes from too is like, you know, originally when I was doing this, I was looking at things like the Red Balloon, like the Kid, the old Chaplin movies and stuff, and then Gabe being kind of a more vaudeville-esque, you know, clown. He's not like a scary clown. It's like he's you know, he comes from a long lineage of actors. His father, Gabe Del Sr., was a famous, you know, a famous actor as well. You know, Gabe Del Sr. and his grandfather was, you know, a Paramount studio villain. So Gabe very much comes from that old Hollywood tradition, and he brings it into his character as a clown, you know? So, you know, we were kind of going for simplicity. That was where, you know, the older films come in. It's just to do something very simple and very pure, and let the performance of the clown and Adrian breathe, you know? Let it be organic.
So, Adrian, you've worked with Dad a couple of times before. Is Dad a good director? Does he catch any slack because you're his young fella, or does he? What are the perks of being the director?
He's a good director. I think. I mean, it's hard to tell because I've never. It's my first movie, really.
I actually
all the movies I've been in, like, I was in a small part in The Walking Dead. The Zombie Apocalypse, and my dad was the director there. So I really don't know if he's a good director, but I think he is. Like, I think he's a good director, you know?
That's all right. At least you're honest.
Yeah.
So you seem quite natural on screen now that you've sort of done this. Because Dad's in this business, is acting and filmmaking something you go to on your own, or are you into it because Dad's into it?
I think I just started acting because I think it was fun, and like I wanted to try something new and see what I like, maybe pursue as a career and stuff. And yeah, this is definitely something I like, and along with many other things, so.
No.
Yeah.
So do you think you're going to be a writer and director and all that too eventually?
You know, it's hard to tell, but I'm not so sure of it. I don't think so. I think I want to get into sports maybe a little bit more and other things, but yeah.
What's your favorite sports? What sports do you play?
I like rock climbing. I like basketball.
Basketball's a fun game. Anyway, as I said at the top of the show, Nick and Adrian, there was a film that I did some press on not that long ago, or it probably was that long ago. Time goes so quickly today. But it was called Surfer, and it was by a gentleman named Douglas Burke and his son Sage, and he very much he's actually in the film as well. But it was just interesting, like this father and son duo, most of it, like it started all down by the seaside. Very, very spooky. I'm not saying it's a similar story. This is a different story altogether. But there's a lot of crossover there, a father and son working together on a film. And also, too, I found it interesting, Nick, that there was a mention in the press materials about harkening back to Shakespeare. And for me, I don't know if you've seen it, but Kenneth Branagh made an absolutely fantastic version of Hamlet. And
Hello? Oh, sorry to interrupt. This is Gabe Dell, our clown. He just joined us.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we've got everyone.
How are you?
How you doing, mate?
Yep, sorry to...
No, look, the more the merrier. The more the merrier.
How is
Gabe Dell Jr., how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Good. My wife is a massive Cirque du Soleil fan, so she'll be rapt that you walked in.
Oh. Yes, well,
where are you guys here in the States, or are you overseas?
We're in Australia.
We're podcasting right now.
Oh, you are? I didn't know if we were all...
The podcast is live, so Gabe, go ahead and introduce yourself. This is Gabe Gelf, the clown from our movie that we did, and,
fantastic.
You know, I kind of didn't realize he was going to call in. It's all, but this is wonderful that you came in.
Yeah, well, hey, the more the merrier, right?
Yeah, well, my name is Gabriel Gelf, and I am, I'm a clown. I'm an actor, artist. All together, and used to be with Cirque du Soleil and done lots of other things as well. But
that's fantastic. It was a marvelous performance, Gabe.
Oh, thank you so much. You saw the movie.
It's a very beautiful, heartwarming performance by you, and you do it. I know that you speak. You do your little clown voice, but Without essentially much dialogue, you do an awful lot without dialogue to express yourself.
Thank you. I mean, it's a real testament to Nick and his ability to be able to cut all that together, because he would just let, you know, Adrian and I go, and it had to be really, really, well, sincerely challenging for him to be editing and to try to link all that together.
You know, they say the hardest thing is to shoot films with kids and animals.
Right.
I had a kid, an animal, and a clown.
I know.
I'll tell you what, he liked to get tangled. He always getting tangled up in his balloons and stuff. He became a different person. So he was a little hard to wrangle at times. You know, the clown.
I know.
He just became a different person.
I know. One of my favorite bits. One of my favorite bits is his moment with the suitcase, trying to get the suitcase to move forward.
Oh, yes. It's always nice to give that sense of working against time and space, because for clowns, that's where they live, and the in-between, you know, between our thoughts. You know, they help us to transcend, you know, ourselves, so that we might have a moment to be able to laugh at ourselves and look at ourselves with a new perspective. That's why that little bit is always, you know, so touching to me. And it's something that's, you know, perennial in the world of clowns, you know. But thank you very much for the compliment.
It's wonderful. Gabe, it'd be...
My
wife will be very angry with me if I don't ask you. What's it like? What's the whole Cirque du Soleil like experience for a performer?
For me, I always say it's the NBA or the NFL of professional theater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's 10 shows a week, 400 plus, 430 to 50 plus shows a year. If you're doing, you know, Vegas, or if you're traveling, you know, you have the packing, the traveling, and the moving. You're staying in, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, 2 to 4 weeks per space. You know, I fortunately got to live in Las Vegas, and for me it was literally being with the best of everybody at what they do in the world. You know, you have the Olympians, after they have a professional Olympic career or national champion, they get recruited by Cirque, and then they're taught what their already skill is, be it gymnastics or acrobatics, you know, or circus itself. And they're taught, rigorous program and ensemble type gathering that they have up in Montreal, you know, where you can act in it, you get a sense of the music. Everything is created spontaneously and through a process of creation. A director will come in and have a concept, and a full concept, and they'll work on that concept and paint that concept, around all of the big acts, you know, but then they'll try to build a soft narrative. They're just beginning to work on, you know, sincere narratives where they work through the whole story. But circus is about, you know, a random kind of, literally a super human experience, because after we go to the circus, we see you know, we see people doing unimaginable things that we all do as pedestrians, you know, civilians, you know, and we can reach to a new height within ourselves with regards to how we see ourselves in the world after experiencing, you know, the magic, you know, under the tent, if you will. That's kind of the concept. So that experience on a daily basis, the two shows a night in Las Vegas, which is its own animal.
I know.
You get an audience, you start to learn. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it sounds more like a, it's definitely a marathon, not a sprint, that kind of lifestyle, huh?
It's you know, you basically get enough time to sleep and eat, and then you go back in and you train, or you create new material. You have wonderful friends that you make lifelong friends because you're together all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but you're a team, you know, you're a genuine ensemble team.
Right, yeah.
Begin to think as one.
Everyone works together.
That's so unique about the experience.
It's incredible. Really incredible.
Working with Gabe, you see all the what he's done. Gabe as a clown, I mean, his character, he would do all this babbling throughout the movie, right?
Yes.
And when we went back into ADR and he had to rebabble everything, because we made a decision that he doesn't speak English. He doesn't speak, really, throughout the movie until one time at the very end. And that's because he's, hiding behind the mask, you know, because of the trauma he had once experienced. And so, but when he came into the ADR and he was mimicking himself, it was amazing. it showed the skill it took for him to, basically create his own language as the clown while we were filming. So, you know, it's just he had his own little code, the way of speaking and the character. I mean, call Adrian Abedin, you know. However you said Adrian, he would say Abedin. Abedin, you know. It was a different language. It was like Pig Latin for clowns, you know.
I know. It was... You know? It's just, right. But it just fits. It works so much better than just having him have regular dialogue and have, you know, it gives him more of a magical quality, kind of that slightly untouchable, I thought one of the great sort of turning points in the story is when the mother Googles the clown, and it's got a death date on there, and I was like, whoa, okay, that's interesting.
The essence of clowning, what Nick and I, you know, spoke about as we were, just, you know, having fun on the weekends with Adrian, and then it was like, oh, geez, we should just keep going. And but we talked about, you know, there's so much trauma that we're seeing in our lives today. There's so much, you know, everyone is so hypersensitive without knowing it. And what if this man is coming back from the experience of something tragic? You know, it's not that he's dead, it's just that his soul is being reborn inside this conduit, this clown. And, you know, his language, his redemption is in helping this boy.
Right.
You know, help this boy to find joy again, you know,
yes,
from the loss of what is, you know, a random experience for them, you know. Nothing like a child losing a father.
Yes.
You know, or a monk.
No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Gabe, before you came in, I was going to pose something that came up in the in the press packet. There was reference to Shakespeare and Commedia dell'arte, but I remember a couple of performances. Hamlet. One was Kenneth Branagh's film. The other one was actually a production I was in, a production of Hamlet many years ago, and the sequence. It's actually in a cemetery. We're talking about the grave digger sequence where Hamlet.
Oh yes.
You know the classic. You know, alas, poor Yorick. I knew him. Yeah. Where are your jibes now? Your gambols? Your songs? your flashes of merriment that will want to set the table a-roar, all that sort of thing. But in watching the film, even just the opening sequences with you and Adrian together, and Nick, you can jump in too if you like on this, but there was such a, I felt such an instant connection with that speech and those opening sequences, because I have a very powerful recollection of that speech being given in the play, and in the background, a young boy playing obviously the young Hamlet, and a character playing the clown Yorick, and it was just that just made it all Nick, make sense for me.
That's beautiful, man. I still get that. That's, you know, that's well, you know, sometimes the channeling of that, and that is such a beautiful play right there. Nick, are you hearing this?
Yeah.
That's such a great idea for a movie. But that is actually. I mean, if you've been in the draw of parallel, you know, it is his boy Hamlet, you know. But is he, you know, he calls on Yorick again from beyond the grave, you know, to help him through it.
Well, we also, that was a play the whole time that we didn't, you know, there was like different endings to the film, but is the clown real or not?
Yes.
And a lot of people ask that at the end, is he real? Is he somebody that's just a traveling angel that came to help the boy at that time, to help people, to help the family? He had forgotten it, you know, and the boy knows that at the beginning, so he can see the magic. The boy still sees magic,
yeah.
You know. The parents around him, the other people that don't, and so really, magic is real if you can see it. And so everybody else in the movie couldn't see it at first, you know, and they eventually learn to see the magic, the butterflies that the clown can create out of nothing. And then, you know, of course, at the very end, we wanted to have it, like, a little bit ambiguous, but, you know, does he die? We don't know. Is he still alive? We don't know. And he walks off into, you know, the next journey of the end, you know, having healed.
Yes. No, but it's an absolutely beautiful piece of cinema. The three of you really deserve great applause, as well as all your collaborators. I thought the film had a wonderful score. Nick, you co-wrote the screenplay, A Beautiful Story. Everyone's top shelf. And young Adrian kind of at the center of this. Well done to you all.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's truly beautiful film. So before we sign off, if you guys want to tell our audience, we have an audience all over the world, but if you'd like to tell the audience in general where they probably best be able to see The Boy, the Dog, and the Clown.
There you go, Nick.
Well, as of right now, the film is on demand, on iTunes, on Amazon streaming, as of today, December 3rd. I know it's also being released in London, or in England, in Germany, Eastern Europe, Russia, South Africa, and, you know, the sales are, you know, we're still trying to get it out there throughout the world, but those are the countries that I know of right now that have distribution on it.
Right.
But, you know, today is actually the launch date for it in the U.S., you know, and so it's basically all on demand, and we'll see where it goes and what happens, you know. It's in the independent film world, it's definitely, you know,
to see where the films go and how they get their audience will be an interesting path.
Yeah, it's
not a theatrical release.
I'm very grateful to have seen it, because usually Australia is kind of last on the list to get all these movies. We get everything like years after the fact, it seems like.
Right. Well, hopefully maybe there's a way that people can go, you know, purchase it. The DVD you can definitely purchase from the U.S. Amazon site, and they do ship internationally.
Sure.
And I believe eBay, I mean, there's definitely out there to be found and purchased. If people want to see it, they can definitely get the DVD, even if they can't stream it.
The film premiered at the Dances with Film Festival in June 2019 and won the Audience Award. It's being released as of right now, the 3rd of December in the US by Cine... What is that? Cinedigm? I can't even pronounce. What's that word?
Cinedigm.
Yeah. Overseas and by Cinetel Films. The Boy, the Dog, and the Clown has also received certification from the Dove Foundation. Tell us about that.
Well, the Dove, it's basically, I mean, the film is what it's a very clean film, you know. It's not really a full on faith based film or anything like that. It's just a positive message that's appropriate for all audiences.
Yes.
So we decided to, you know, get it certified with the Dove Foundation just to let people know that this is a film that parents and kids can both enjoy, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what we were targeting, is to have something that adults can enjoy, but also kids can enjoy.
It's beautiful. And as the press materials say, you know, in a cinematic culture dominated by, you know, psychotic clowns and killer clowns from outer space, this is something beautiful, healing, heartwarming, wholesome. You three gentlemen have done an absolutely fantastic job. It's been my privilege not only to see the film, but to talk to each of you this morning here in Australia. I realize it's the afternoon there, but it's been a privilege. Gentlemen, one and all.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to do your show. Thank you for the kind words.
It's really great. Really fantastic. Listen,
yeah, very much appreciated. Thank you for giving life to it, you know, in this podcast, and especially, yeah, you're right, with all the dark, you know, the clowns have definitely taken a, you know, it's like, even with the Joker, I'm like going, oh boy, you know,
yeah.
This is a little bit of, you know, the lighter side of the clowns that has gone forgotten.
It's been a real treat. I didn't expect to have all three of you on, but it was a real surprise. And Adrian and Gabe and Nick, thank you very much for being on Podcast Them Softly. And I have one request before we go.
Thank you.
I have one request before we go.
Yes.
Gabe, could you say goodbye as the clown? That's fantastic. That's fantastic. You've made my day. you've made my day. Thank you very much, guys. You've made my day. Thank you.
Thank you
very much. I wish you all the best with it, lads, and I hope it gets out there and I have more people get to see it. This is Kent Hill on Podcast Them Softly. Please get out there wherever you can. It's available for purchase on Amazon, iTunes, and major DVD outlets. As of right now, the 3rd of December, it's the 4th of December here in Australia, but it's the 3rd of December in the US, and right now you can get out there and see The Boy, the Dog, and the Clown. My guests were the stars of the film and its director. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you. Bye-bye.